I would like to challenge you from the book of Psalms. If you have your Bible, if you would please turn to Psalm 119 this morning. Psalm 119. And as you're heading that direction, I do believe that at times life gets going so fast that we sometimes need to stop and consider our ways. Not that we are purposely going a wrong way, but because things happen so quickly in life and we get so busy that sometimes we can be distracted, or we can be going a direction that we look and say, you know, I shouldn't be going that direction in my life. I shouldn't be doing this or be part of this. And so this morning, the title of this message is A Call to Stop and Think. We're going to look at Psalm 119, and we're going to see that David took time to consider his ways, and then he took time to change the direction he was going. So I think it's good to stop and consider our ways. Two reasons. One, to make sure we're going the correct way. We want to be going the right way in life. And secondly, to change course if we find that we're going the wrong direction. And so this morning, let's look at Psalm 119, and I'll begin reading in verse 59. We're going to be looking at these two verses. Verse 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings that you have given to us as individuals, as families, and as a church. And I pray this morning you bless us spiritually. Please open up your word to us, help us to understand, and if need be, challenge us, convict us, comfort us, or encourage us. And I pray as we go forward in this message, Lord, you'll just work in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have three thoughts, and as we take them right from these two verses for you this morning, as far as a call to stop and think. To begin with, we're going to see the Bible challenges us to think. It's a call to think. And then we're going to see where it's a call to turn, and then a call to trust in God. So let's talk about thinking here. It says here in Psalm 119, verse 59, we've read it, but I'll read it again. It says, I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways. Two thoughts here for you. First, when you think on your ways, I believe you're going to find out, no matter who you are, that we're not perfect. And when we begin to think on our ways, we'll consider, here's the thought here, we'll consider the sinner that we are. That's what happened to David in this passage. Now, we're talking about a man who belonged to God here. Okay, so we're talking about Christians as far as stopping and thinking on our ways. Now, that word for thought, as far as the Hebrew word, it implies an investigation, turning something over and looking at something from all directions or from all sides. In other words, it's more than just a passing thought. It's more than just, you know, you give it a thought and then you move on. How many of you have passing thoughts sometimes? You think about something as you're going through your day. I do that all the time. I think, well, I got to do that. I don't write it down. I don't think on it anymore. And then sometimes the next day at the same time, I say, oh, I got to do that. And then the next day and the next day. This is more than that. This is when you stop and you consider something. You think it over. You mull it over, so to speak. You investigate it from all different angles or from all different sides. This would be more akin to if you have a project in your house, maybe. You're putting something together, you're doing something, and you thought to think, okay, I got to slow down and make sure I put this together right. Or I got to make sure I'm doing this correctly because I don't want to do it a second or a third time. Or I just want to make sure that things are working out well here. Maybe at work you have to do this. You've got to think over things. That's what this is implying here. That David stopped to consider his ways. In other words, his ways on every single day. Sunday through Saturday. Every single day, how he lived, how he acted. All of his purposes and all of his practices. All of his words and all of his works. He gave thought to all of those things. He considered his ways. His ways in private and his ways in public. You see, he thought about his life. He considered how he lived. His ways at home, his ways at church, his ways at work, his ways when he was shopping. Well, I don't know if he went shopping. All of his ways. You see, that's what this is challenging us to do. To stop and consider how we live. How we live in our relationships. Within our home. Our relationships at work. And yes, by the way, at work we should be a testimony for Christ at all times. Our relationships when we go out. Our relationships within the church. All of our relationships. See, He gave thought to how he lived. You know, I find it interesting. If you look, we're in verse 59. But notice in verse 57, this is where this section of this chapter begins. Here it says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." I just want to point out to you that David is considering God's word in all this, okay? He is studying the Word of God. He's considering God's commandments, God's testimonies, God's law, God's direction. And as he thinks over these things, then he turns the microscope, so to speak, and he takes it off God's Word for a moment, and he puts it on his life. That's how we should read the Bible. That's how we should study God's Word. We read it and we study it. Yes, we gain the knowledge and the information, but at some point we stop and then we shine His Word on our heart, on our life. And we do a comparison. We test our life with God's Word. We do an examination or an investigation, and we consider our ways. And that's what David's doing here. He's considering his ways. Now, he's not comparing his life to someone else. He's not comparing his life to the world's standards. And by the way, you know, when you compare to someone else or the standards of the world, you can justify almost anything you want. Okay? You can find somebody who was doing something that you may want to do, even if it's wrong. You can find someone who's going to agree with you at some point, or is going to tell you, okay, that's all right, that's fine. You look long enough, you're going to find permission from somebody. And that's not what David's doing here. He's looking to God's Word. And as believers, that's how we should live. We should look at God's Word. I believe God has a high standard, folks. And I think as a church, we shouldn't lower that standard just to please people. We should tell people, hey, you read the Word of God and you live by it. Because that's what God expects. Yes, it's a high standard. But God is above all. And God expects us to live the way He has given us direction in His Word.
You know, another thought on this is a lot of people are good at examining others. I've been guilty of that, you know. That person, this, that person, that.
We not need to make sure we're examining ourselves too in the process. Make sure that we're looking at our life. You know, in Galatians 6:4, Paul said this, "Let every man prove his own work." You notice he didn't say, "Let every man look at someone else's work," or "Let every man consider someone else's work," or "complain about someone else's work," or "gripe," or "examine." He said, "Let every man prove his own work, and woman too." In other words, look at your own life, examine your life, and make sure your ways are right. So that's the first thing. He said, consider the sinner that he was. And secondly, on a call to think, I think we find here with David that once he realized who he was, or I guess you say the direction he was going, then I think he realized what he needed. So he considered the sinner he was, and secondly, he considered... Now David, I don't think had... Obviously, Christ had yet to come, but he knew Christ was coming. And I think we need to consider the Savior that is needed, okay, or God needed in our life. You know what David found when he examined his life? Well, first, when he examined the Word, he found truth. When he looked at his life, he found some mistakes or some problems, evidently. That's what he's telling us here. In other words, he found sin. You see, when we look deep enough into our life, we're going to find some problems, some mistakes. That's just because we have a sinful human nature. Everyone does. And what happened with David is here is he looked within himself, he found these problems. Now, the truth never changes, okay? Truth is truth. 2 + 2 = 4. You see, I always use a small one because I'm not very good at math, so I always use 2 + 2 so I get it right. 2 + 2 = 4. That doesn't change. You can pretend it changes, but it's still the same. You go do measurements, you better make sure that your math is correct. You're building a building, you better make sure your math is correct. You see, those don't change. Those are absolutes. Truth never changes. So when David examines God's Word, you know what he finds? He finds God's ways, God's testimonies, as he puts it. And those things never change. Then he looks at his life and he finds these mistakes, these problems, these errors, these ways where he's not aligned with God's Word is what he finds. Now, we're not talking necessarily about, at this point in David's life, a big sin. Now, he made some mistakes later. At this point, I believe he's just probably finding some ways in his life that he just doesn't measure up to God's Word. That he is not what he wants to be. As he prays and as he looks this over, he's thinking, this is not what God expects of me in this area. And so he finds these areas. And of course, the truth never changes. So that means that David has to change? Well, that's the decision that comes up next. And I think, as far as David's concerned, he's going to look to God for that change, as we'll see here in a minute. He's going to turn towards God and away from his direction. But this morning, let me give you something to think about. We need God's strength to live a life for God. That's what we need. You know, John 14. Let's turn over to John 14. I want to point out what Jesus said. In John chapter 14, and this is a familiar passage for many Christians. In John chapter 14, this is where Jesus, sharing with the apostles that he would be gone, but that he wouldn't forget him, that he would return. And in verse 6, it tells us there, or verse 5, Thomas had a question. He says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And this is the answer that Jesus gave him. He says, here I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, he made three claims here. He said he's the way, and that's what we're talking about. That's the one I want to focus on this morning. He said he's the way, he's the truth, and the life. But notice how he said, I'm the way. And that's what we're talking about, direction, going the right way. Well, Jesus is not only the way to God the Father. If you want to get to God the Father, you've got to go through Jesus. But you know, he's also the way to live correctly in this world. What I mean by that is, if we want to live for God, we've got to go the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus told his apostles, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, Jesus provided not only a life, a sacrifice, but he also provided an example for us to follow afterwards. You're saved here this morning, it's because of the sacrifice that was made on the cross. Praise God, right? You're saved. Afterwards, we must follow the example of Christ and abide with him. You see, he is the way. And if we're going to live for Christ, we have to go his way. Now, the more you look at your life, and I'll put it on me this morning, the more I look at my life, the more I realize I need God. I need his strength, I need his power, I need his might, I just need him. I need him every day. I need his wisdom, I need his knowledge, I need his comfort at times. I need God. And the more I look at my life, the more I realize I need God. Now, that leads us to our second thought. Let's go to Psalm 59, or 119. And here he says in verse 59, he says, I thought on my ways. Now, it's good to think on your ways, but you don't want it to end there, all right? We want to make some decisions. And secondly, he says, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So he thinks on his ways, and that leads us to the second point here, which is a call to turn. A call to turn. So first, he had a decision to make, okay? David had a decision to make as far as turning from his ways. He had all the information that was required for him to make this decision. He'd examined God's Word, or he knew the Word of God, and then he examined his ways, and he found where he was lacking. Now he had to make a decision. Was he going to continue in his ways, or was he going to turn and go the way that God had for him? After some serious thought, basically, David found he was lacking, and he realized he had to look a new direction. He had to go a new way. Have you ever taken a wrong direction, you know, on the road? I've taken a wrong turn, and after a few moments, I think, wait, none of this looks familiar. I don't know where I'm at. That road definitely is not the road I'm looking for. I slow down, give some thought, and I turn around. Go back. Look for the right way. That's what we have David here. That's the example we're given. He has read God's Word. He has looked at his own life, and he says, hey, there's some areas that I'm going this wrong way. I need to turn back. I need to make a decision. So David must choose to turn from his ways. Now, I do believe that God is what we would call sovereign. And that simply means that God is in complete control of all things. And anything that God decrees will come to pass. All of his promises will be kept. His word is perfect. His word is true. But I also believe that the Bible teaches that God has given men and women a will, so to speak. Folks, you can make some decisions. God's given you that ability. We find here with David that he had a choice. He could keep going the way he was going, or he could turn back, or turn to the right way, so to speak. You see, this morning, you must choose which way you're going to go. And I'm not talking about salvation right now, okay? This is David who's saved, or belongs to God. You know, this decision has to be made often sometimes. You know, maybe each morning, maybe throughout the day, maybe every other day. We've got to make decisions that we're going to go the direction God would have us to go. That we're going to choose the right way, and not the wrong way. Joshua chapter 24, if you have your Bibles or if you're taking notes, I'm just going to read verse 15. And in this passage here in the book of Joshua, this is going to be my illustration for this point here. You know, Joshua had led the people in the land. They had divided it. They were getting settled. There were problems. I tell you what, there were a lot of problems. Nothing ever came easy for the Israelites, it seems like. Even going in the land, they had some difficulties. And their enemies, for the most part, had been driven out of the land. There were still some that remained. Well, we find here at the end of the book, as Joshua is giving his challenge or charge to the people, he knows his life on earth is coming to its end, and he's going to encourage them to serve the Lord. And verse 14 of Joshua, he says here, Joshua 24, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." So he looks at the people and says, hey, you know those gods that you have forsaken? Put them away. Get rid of those false ways. And then in verse 15 he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a wonderful verse, wonderful passage. I've seen that on pictures. People have it on their door sometimes, or their home. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a wonderful commitment to make. And that's basically what Joshua told the people. He said, first he said, leave those gods behind that you served in Egypt, or that you served before the flood, all those false gods. And then he challenged them to leave the gods that were in the land, to not follow after those. But you notice, in a sense, he's saying, whatever you do, I want you to know that my decision has been made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Folks, we have to make that decision sometimes, especially in a world of sin. There are going to come times where you're just going to have to say, I am going to serve the Lord, whether anyone else around you chooses to do so or not. I am going to go the right way, even if everyone else is going the wrong way. I am going to do what's right because I belong to God and I love the Lord. And I'll trust God with my life. You see, that's what David did here, in a sense. He has measured his life to God's Word. And now he is having to make a decision to turn from his ways. And so he has a decision to make, and the decision he made was to turn. And then second, as far as the call to turn, he had a decision to make. And then he had a direction to take, a new direction to take. Action is needed, is what I want to point out to you. After David examined his life, he did not ignore his wicked ways. You know, we can do that too, by the way. We can examine our life, and then we can just ignore the mistakes that are there. We can just choose to just ignore them. You know, that putting your head in the sand, so to speak, like an ostrich does, and hoping that no one else sees. We can do that with our sin sometimes. We say, well, no big deal, and just continue. Some people don't read the Bible, I think, because they don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be challenged from God's Word. It's easier, in a sense, just to keep going what they think is in ignorance, in sin. Well, David here had the information. He wasn't going to ignore his ways. He was going to make a decision. Secondly, David didn't sit in discouragement either. Okay? He examined his life and he found there were some places he was lacking. Well, he didn't just sit down and just stop. He didn't stop in the way. We don't find anywhere in this passage what I would call delay or hesitation, as we'll see here in a moment. It was just the opposite. We don't find him stopping. We find him making a decision and taking the new route, the new way, or the correct way. So what we find here is David basically did something about his problem. And that something was turn from his ways and turn the right way. He jumped off the wrong path and he landed on the right path. That's what he did. And sometimes we need to do that. You know, you investigate your life and maybe God will just put something upon your heart. Or you'll look and say, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be acting this way. I shouldn't be saying those things. Or whatever the case may be. And then what you do is you seek God's forgiveness and you get going the right way. And that's what David did. He turned from his evil ways, wicked ways, whatever they were, and he turned the right way. As one person put it, you know what he did? He turned from all his other ways and he turned to the Word of God. That's what he did. And that's what we find here. He's no longer going to go his ways, or what he thinks is best, he is now going to go God's way. That's what this verse is implying, that he's looking to the Word of God now. He's looking to God for direction. You know, along those lines, I do believe that we need to follow the Word of God at all times. This should be your guide in life. God has given us direction as far as how we're to act and how we're to live. And we need to let God's Word be our guide. You see, David determined that God's word would determine his ways. He decided that God's word would dictate his conduct. That's how it should be for us too. God's word should be our model, and we should follow the Lord. You see, the more you look at God's word, I do believe the more you'll live by it. The more you'll live by it. I've noticed in life, those that tend to read the word tend to live by it. And those who neglect it seem to stray from it. Which really makes sense. You know, if we're not in God's word, if we're not being challenged to live correctly, then it's easy to follow the temptation, or it's easy to compromise. But when we're in the word every single day, when we're studying God's word, when we have a chance, and we're reading, and we're trying to apply the teachings that are there, then we're going to live by God's word. And when those decisions come up, it'll be easier because we'll know what God expects. We'll know God's word. If nothing else, I've had this happen where I didn't know an answer, but you know what? I've heard someone say something, I thought, you know, that's not right. It just doesn't sound right. And a red flag went off. Something's not right. I didn't have the answer. I went and I found the answer in the word of God. But I think what it was is through the years of reading and studying and hearing preaching and teaching that when something false was said, it just didn't click. It just didn't sound right because it was wrong. That's how we should be in God's word. We should know God's word, even if it's just to recognize the dangers that are out there spiritually. We know the direction God would expect of us. So we find here that David was, not only did he think on things, but he made a turn. He went unto God's testimonies. Now here's a final thought I have for you this morning. If you look at verse 60, he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So here's his, what I would call his call to trust in God and God's word. What we find is he thought things over, he turned, and now he is going to trust God with his life, or trust in God's word. Two thoughts on that. First, David had complete dependence upon God. He's no longer depending upon himself. He's no longer depending upon anyone else. He's now depending upon God and God's word for direction. That's where God wants us, by the way, I think. He wants us trusting in Him in all areas of our life. Walking by faith, right? The just shall live by faith, we find in the book of Hebrews. All the time, we live by faith. You trust God's going to get you home. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of poor drivers out there. And you got to go by them, whether it's going, they're trying to pass you or they're coming this direction. You trust God's going to get you home today. You drive by faith. You work by faith at work. Everything comes by faith. We just trust God is going to provide for us and He'll take care of us. You see, that's dependence upon God. And that's what we find here with David. In verse 60, we've read, he says there, I made haste and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. He's now going to obey the Lord. I want to point out to you the double expression. Notice it says he made haste and he did not delay. It's a double expression is what you find. You know what that means? He did this fast, quickly, immediate. He didn't stop and say, well, let me think this over. No, he was going to live for God and go the way that God would want him to go. You know, David, what he did is he hurried back to the way he should be going. You know, this morning, if you ever find yourself going the wrong way, just do what David did. Hurry back to the way you're supposed to be going. Okay? If there's sin involved, confess your sin, seek God's forgiveness, and get right with God. Go the way you're supposed to go. You see, this implies that David wanted to hurry off the wrong path. I've been down the wrong way of a one-way street before, and I wanted to get off as quick as I could when I found out. That's the implication here. David's realizing he's now going the wrong way, and you know what he wants to do? He wants to get off that path. He wants to get the right way. And so it implies he's hurrying. There's no delay, nothing but speed and haste to get in the right direction. It also indicates that he wants to hurry up along the right path. It almost implies that he wants to get going again. Have you ever been excited about something? Maybe you're starting a new job. Maybe you're starting some kind of new endeavor. And you're ready to get going. You're excited. Well, it almost seems that that's the implication here with David. He made haste. It was fast. It's like he was ready to get back right with God again. And by the way, I think when we confess our sin, that conviction is gone. The Holy Spirit will work in our hearts. And I think we'll be excited to serve God again. We'll be excited to get right back on that right path. Because God has worked things out. God is going to bless us again. And we get going. In a sense, we make up for lost time. Because by the way, if you're going down the wrong path for a while, that's time you could have been going down the right path. And so you hurry up to get back because you want to go down that right path again. and do what God would want you to do. And that's what we find here. He did not delay. There was no delay at all. And by the way, if you have your Bibles, let me share with you a thought here in James chapter 4 on this. James chapter 4 tells us here in verse 17, if you're taking notes, James 4 verse 17. See here, it says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Think about that for a moment. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, had David delayed, that would have been sin. Because he knew he should be going down the right path. Had he, I guess you'd say, not made haste or not hurried up, that would have been sin. Because he knew he should have been going down the right path. You see, we can sin by our conduct and our actions. We can also sin by a lack of conduct or a lack of actions. What I mean by that is, if we're going the wrong way, and we know we need to go the right way, and we put it off for another day, then that's sin. Because we know we should be right with God. We know we should be doing this. We just need to start doing it. And so we find here the importance of making haste, of hurrying up, so we go the right way. You know, the thought I'll give you on this, there are two times you can speed and probably get away with it. Probably not on the way home today, but you can speed on repentance, and that's good. You have any sin in your life, and you do need to repent of that sin, then you can hurry up, and you should hurry up and take care of it while you can. Perhaps there's someone here who's not saved. You need to repent of your sin and believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. I think that's something, when you have that understanding, you need to hurry up and make that decision. Don't delay or put it off for another day. When you know you have sin and you know you need God's forgiveness, then hurry up, get it taken care of. And then secondly, we should speed in our obedience. If there is something we know we should be doing, we should be doing it. And doing it eagerly and quickly. There's no need to put it off. If God says, do this, then let's do it. God says we need to be witnesses. Let's be witnesses. God says we need to live a life that's pleasing unto Him. Let's live a life pleasing unto Him. Not tomorrow or next week, but right now, this morning, as we're sitting here. Those are decisions or choices we can make immediately. So there are two times we can hurry up, make haste, and we should. And that's what David's doing. He's hurrying up, turning the right direction, getting on that right path so that he can live unto the Lord. And the final thought on a call to trust is it leads to devotion to God. That's what it leads to. Okay, so it's a dependence upon God, but it produces devotion to God. This is where it leads. When you examine your life, and by the way, you may examine your life, and there's going to be some times where you say, you know, you're going the right way. Now, of course, we're all sinners. I think we could probably all be honest and say, you know, there's something else I can be doing for God. Or there's something more I can do. That when you examine your life and you look and you say, okay, this is not right, or this is wrong, or I could be doing this. And then you hurry up and you get going the right way, and you get on that path and you get going. You know what that's going to do? That's going to draw you closer to God. That's what it does. That's what's happening here with David. Folks, he examined his heart and he found that there were some areas that were lacking. And as I said before, I don't believe this is referring to any of David's... You know, he made some mistakes later, some big mistakes later in his life. And I don't think this is referring to that. When this was written, I don't believe it's referring to those big sins. I believe this is just referring to some of those... Now, sin is sin, but I believe it's referring to those mistakes he found just in living. Perhaps a lack of devotion in some areas of his life. Maybe some lack of sincerity to God. Whatever the case may be, he's looking at his life, he finds these, and he says, you know what? No more. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to get the right path and go the right direction. And this drew him closer to God, is what it did. Because in verse 60, he says there, I delayed not to keep thy commandments. You know what Jesus told the apostles in John 14, 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. You see, obedience is a test of love. Right, parents? If your children obey you, that's a sign of love. They obey you. It's the same with God. If we say we love God, our conduct should show it, and that's through obedience. You see, that's what we find here. David is now, he's obeying God. He's living according to his testimonies. He has drawn closer to God through this process. And that's what this is. And in verse 119, I've already, if you go back in verse 57 of chapter 119, he says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. He says, I have said that I would keep thy words. You know, it's interesting here. David began this passage with a commitment. He said, I'll keep your words.
Then he studied the Word, so to speak. Then he examined his life. And then he found where he was lacking. And then he got on the right path. And he kept his words.
As Christians, that's what we should do. We should look, and as you read your Bible and study your Word, the Word of God, you should make a commitment that you're going to live by it. And then when you find areas, as you read and as you study, that you should live by, then you make that commitment. You follow through on your commitment. And that's what David was doing here. So we find some devotion from David. You know, the final result is he's just been drawn closer to God. You see, the more you examine your life with God's Word and then live by it, I do believe the closer you will be to God. And that's kind of the point of this message here this morning. You see, we examine our life so that way, if there is something wrong, we can get it right. We examine our life so if something's right, we can be encouraged to continue down that path. You see, it's to stay with God as close as we can, to abide with Christ. Or as John put it in 1 John, to walk in the light, to make sure we're right there with God. And I believe as Christians, that should be all of our desire, that we want to be as close to God as we possibly can. We want to know our Lord and our Savior as much as we possibly can. You know, I think at some point, you know, we sang that song here this morning, face to face with the Lord, or seeing our Lord and standing before Him and seeing Him in, you know, face to face, so to speak. You know, someone put it this way once. You know, there are going to be some Christians that are going to stand before God, and it's almost as if they have to be introduced. They're going to know God as their Savior because they've been saved, but guess what? Because they've neglected to read the Word and study the Word and walk with God, yes, they're saved, yes, they're in heaven, but they don't know God real well. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that way. When I get to heaven, I want to be able to look at my Lord and Savior and know as much about Him as I possibly can, because that's who I want to be spending eternity with. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who's going to take me there and keep me there. And I want to know as much about Him as I can, so when I stand before Him, I can praise Him and honor Him and just give Him thanks for all that He's done for me here on earth. You know, in closing, Charles Spurgeon, the late pastor Charles Spurgeon, here's how he summed up this passage. I thought it was interesting, so I'll give it to you, his quote. Speaking of David, here's how he summed it up. He said, David came to the Word, and then David came to himself, and this made him arise and go to his Father. And I think that's good. That's how it should be. We should look to God's Word in our life, in all areas and aspects of our life. And then we should look to our life to make sure not only are we gaining this knowledge of God's Word, but we're living by it. And then finally, we should look to God.